fighting for freedom every day. Broadcasting from the heartland of America.
The next generation in conservative talk radio.
This is the Voice of Reason with Andy Hoosier.
Yes, indeed it is. What's up? Welcome into it. It is the middle of the week, greatest day of the entire week, my friends. Ready to rock and roll for another one. Strap in, buckle up, and let's have some fun for a Wednesday. We got a carpe diem all over this place, as we tell you each and every day. So great to have you along for the ride. This is the Voice of Reason. I am Andy Hoosier, broadcasting out of the heart of the nation here in Wichita, Kansas, on our flagship radio station. We are on multiple radio stations all over, TV, radio, live streaming, I guess, allegedly, podcasting, and so much more. So wonderful to have you with you, your millennial general reporting for duty like we do every single day. Got a big show lined up today. Ben Dieter, he's a good friend of mine. He is the morning show host in Wake Up Memphis on the Mighty 990 KWAM out of Memphis, Tennessee. He is the station itself, KWAM, that's the home station for the Todd Starnes radio program. And Ben Dieter's the morning show host out there. He's been on this program a few times. I've been on his program a few times. Got to get him on to talk about some of the latest current events. So we'll have him on at the bottom of the hour. We'll talk about a few things. We're going into Easter weekend. And apparently now it's cool to hijack holidays, especially conservative holidays, especially religious conservative holidays in the nation. It's okay to hijack them and use them to try and promote another agenda from the progressives. We'll talk about that in just a little bit and give you a little bit of a teaser with Ben at the bottom of the hour. But we got to do our daily check-in, man, because it has been a day not so filled of joy and positivity for the Biden administration and Joe Biden on the campaign trail as we do our weekly check-in. You doing all right, buddy? Feeling good?
I want to be clear. I'm not going nuts.
Making sure. There is a, and I'm sure you've heard some of the audio out there. I'm going to play a little bit more than what you maybe have heard. But Karine Jean-Pierre, the secretary of the White House, the press secretary, was actually doing a radio interview, which is kind of weird because I haven't heard her do any other radio interviews. But there's a reason for it. And I have a new theory on what they're trying to do here, because they are in a state of desperation. I've told them many times that they may need to start covering up a little bit more because their desperation showing right now with how badly things are going on the campaign trail. So thank you very much. I'll be here for the rest of the day. So Karine Jean-Pierre was yesterday afternoon on a radio program on WBT out of Charlotte, North Carolina, with the host of the program, Mark Garrison, where Mark apparently just has the I don't really care mindset. Or I'm going back and forth. I'm not sure if it was unscripted and she just lost her cool, or whether this was totally scripted because she's really trying to show how passionate she is. I have a really hard time thinking or agreeing with the fact that Karine Jean-Pierre would actually go on a radio interview and just ad-lib. She can't ad-lib during her own press conferences when she's trying to talk about what's going on with the White House and what's going on across the nation. And when asked about issues, she doesn't know how to respond unless she's reading it verbatim from her nice little booklet in her binder that she has with her laminated sheets. She's clueless. Absolutely clueless. For someone that gets paid as much as she does, she has zero ability to actually ad-lib. Now, I've joked about this on the air, but if you see me on the video streams, you can find all over our social media, then I have my sheet, I have my show prep of what I talk about on the program, and I have my bullet points of the things I want to cover, but the rest of it is just kind of flowing with it and seeing how the show goes. So if I just blank out for a moment, you'll know why, because I ran out of things to talk about, which is very few and far between. My family says that I have the gift of gab and being able to fill time. Nonetheless, Karine Jean-Pierre is not capable of doing that. She has to have her binder. She has to have her talking points. So I have a very, very difficult time thinking that she went onto a radio show, a talk radio show nonetheless, which predominantly talk radio is at least center right for the most part. Air America was the conservative, was the left-wing progressive liberal network nationwide that had talk show hosts like Ed Schultz and a few of these other nuts that were really kind of radically out there. And they went bankrupt a few years ago, like a while ago, 10, 15 years ago, because they were terrible. Number one, they weren't good radio. And number two, I don't know how small business, which is what keeps radio outlets going, how small business continued to support an industry like that when they were out there trashing small business and, you know, we need to centralize and we need more government and we need more regulation, we need more higher taxes. That doesn't quite fit the agenda for a business to actually sponsor and keep going. The only reason that cable networks are still going on with left-wing progressive mainstream media is because Big Pharma essentially keeps them up, which is why you see so many different pharmaceutical pills that are being advertised on all these networks. That's what's essentially keeping them going. If it weren't for them and it was solely on small business and private industry, they would have been dead a very long time ago. So Karine Jean-Pierre, I already questioned, there's a red flag coming up on questioning whether she legitimately went on to a talk show without having questions pre-screened before she went on there, because that's how the Biden administration works. Nonetheless, if you haven't heard this clip, it's kind of funny to listen to because she gets a little defensive here.
When I told a number of people that I was talking to you today, it was interesting, though. They all said, would you please just ask her, does the president have dementia?
Hold on. That's a no-no. You don't do that. You don't ask Karine Jean-Pierre that. They've teased that during the press conferences, and she gets kind of defensive on that, too. So going on a talk show that I'm assuming, could be wrong, don't know anything about it, that's at least somewhat center-right for a talk show on whatever radio station this is, talking about Joe Biden for the press secretary. Come on. Does he have to just answer the question? Now, before the answer comes out, I got to ask you, there are two possible responses that you can have here. Number one, you can laugh it off. Ha! That's funny. You're a joker. That's a good one. Play that rim shot, baby. You just made the joke itself. Of course, he doesn't have dementia because he doesn't need a mental cognitive test. The White House doctor says he doesn't need it. He functions every day. We can see that with all his great policies. Ha! You're a joker. That's a good one there, host. Or you can get really angry. And if you get really angry, does that already kind of answer the question that everybody's wondering and kind of confirms the speculation that we already have? Because if you get angry and you get defensive, that means you probably have something to hide, or you're really annoyed that people continue to ask the question. In which case, either you're not doing a good job responding to it, or you're really trying to cover up something that you don't want people to know. Nonetheless, let's see what option she takes.
When I told a number of people that I was talking to you today, it was interesting, though. They all said, would you please just ask her, does the president have dementia? And so before I move on from that, does he?
Mark, I can't even believe you're asking me this question. That is an incredibly offensive question to ask.
But you know people ask it.
You're taking us down this rabbit hole. Let me be very clear about this. For the past several years, the president's physician has laid out in a comprehensive way the president's health. This is a president, if you watch him every day, if you really pay attention to his record and what he has done, you will see exactly how focused he's been on the American people, how historic his actions have been. And so I'm not even going to take the premise of your question. I think it is incredibly insulting.
Incredibly insulting. I am so angry right now. I can't even fathom answering this question. I am so angry that you asked the question that everybody has concerns about, including half of the Democrat Party, according to the latest polls. I am so angry that you would even consider asking me that question that I just aren't going to answer because of all the great things that he's done and how wonderful of an individual that he actually is. I can't believe that you would ask such a ridiculous, horrible question.
Get your brake working so you can stop something.
That's the latest from the Biden basement. Now, hold on. There's more. Oh, there's more.
Let's go into the Biden basement.
With the ongoing angry defense response that we got from Karine Jean-Pierre from that one, let's take it to the next level here. They go on to ask about prices, inflation, gas prices, food prices, and again, her response.
Gas prices and grocery prices, then. Big topics here in North Carolina. How does Mr. Biden win votes when people don't have as much disposable income?
Look, the president understands. He grew up in a middle-class family, a working-class family in Scranton, Pennsylvania. He gets it. He understands how difficult it is for Americans who are sitting around their kitchen table every month trying to figure out what they're going to pay for. You have to remember, when the president walked into this administration, there were multiple crises happening. There was COVID, There was the economy was in a tailspin because of the last administration, because of what the President Trump left us with. Now Trump's you're asking me about gas prices. The president took action on gas prices. Let's not forget Russia's invasion on Ukraine skyrocketed prices of gas. And because the president took action, we see we are in a different place than we were a year ago on gas prices. Eggs, milk, seafood products, all the important groceries, those costs have gone down because of what this president has been able to do. And with that, thank you so much, Mark. Have an amazing, amazing day.
Wow. Wow.
She hung up.
Wow.
Man, there it is. Just done. And with that, I laid out the stuff. I got defensive again. I can't believe you asked these questions. And like you said at the beginning, you're right. Prices are up. Isn't the economy great? Bidenomics is awesome. We saved it from that evil guy, Donald Trump. We saved it from Russia. We saved it from everything going on in the world. We were able to bring those prices down that are still 20% higher than what they were 3 years ago when we got into office. I have a theory on why she did this. And again, whether it was scripted, which it doesn't sound like it because of the fact that she ended the interview so abruptly. And with that, I'm done. Thank you very much, Mike. Goodbye. Click. Done. Over. I think they're testing the waters. And my theory here is the fact that they're testing the waters with a different demographic, a potential voter. Because they're doing so poorly in the polls, because they're losing their traditional voter, which is the vast majority of identity politics, minority communities, the black population, the Hispanic population, the women population, the Asian population, the Native American population, you know, so on and so forth, that they're starting to lose their base of putting people in boxes and trying to control them. And now that that's not working, they're running out of new people to try to win over. So what do? They have to just test the waters. Put the breadcrumbs out there, do the experiment, and see if it works. By going on to a talk show, now again, I don't know anything about this talk show. It could be a center right, could be a far right. I'm assuming not a far right one, or else they wouldn't even go on there. But I'm assuming maybe it's like a Hugh Hewitt. And nothing against Hugh Hewitt. I'm a big fan of Hugh Hewitt. He's a wonderful talk show host. He's been around for a very long time. He's an iconic name in talk radio. But he is a little bit more in the center of politics. And if you remember a few years ago, Hillary Clinton, for the first time ever, did a talk radio interview with Hugh Hewitt, because he was not a radical, quote unquote, radical right-wing conservative nut job. He was a very moderate, very middle of the road type of interviewer. And she felt safer with him than she would going on someone like a Rush Limbaugh at the time, for example, which she wouldn't do, obviously. So Karine Jean-Pierre trying to test the waters with a little bit more of a moderate crowd to see what the response would be to win over some maybe moderate middle-of-the-road type of listeners and type of voters that they desperately need. Because they're down in the polls in general. They're down in the polls with their own crowds. They're losing their majorities on those. And they're down when it comes to independent and wicked, wild, unaffiliated voters across the nation. They're testing those waters. And I think that was a big bombshell that they tried, and it busted badly. And they're not going to try it again for sure. But what a hilarious moment of getting vicious, getting angry, getting defensive, and then just ending it. That is not the type of mindset the Biden administration wants or needs going into election season. So well done on that one. Slow clap for you, radio station in Charlotte, North Carolina, because that was pretty hilarious to listen to. Well done. Lots more coming up on The Voice of Reason. Stay here.
This is The Voice of Reason with Andy Hoosier. Fighting for freedom every day. This is The Voice of Reason with Andy Hoosier.
I can smell barbecue when I get home tonight, and I can smell the desperation from the other side of the aisle. Welcome back into the program. 24 minutes past the hour, radio, TV, live streaming, and podcasting. It is hilarious to watch them get kind of defensive. And when you get defensive, you kind of have your confirmation. You ever have the kid when they do something wrong and you ask them about it and they want to lie and they try to, but they get really angry about that? Hey, Did you break that vase over there? I can't believe you're asking me about breaking that vase. That is unbelievable that you would even consider me breaking that vase. That is wild. Just because you told me yesterday not to be throwing the ball in the house, I can't believe that you actually think I broke that vase. That is unbelievable. It's got to be the dog. The dog broke the vase. I mean, the dog's been really ramped up lately. You know, you've been giving them a different kind of treat. They get really excited about the treats that you give them all the time. They were thinking that was it. Maybe they thought it was in there. I don't know what it was, but I can't believe that you would even consider me breaking that vase. Did you break the vase? Yeah, I kind of broke the vase. I'm sorry. You got to push them a little bit further. All the evidence is starting to act up. Now, here's the thing. Does it really matter into election season? Because the other side of the aisle, they're so anti-Trump. Does it really matter at this point? We have to ask the Hillary Clinton question. At what point does it really matter? We know, and it's a concern for us, and it does matter because we have a leader of the free world right now that can't remember his own name half the time and that scuffles and falls up the stairs on Air Force One. So, yeah, there's a major problem there. And I think independent voters are aware of that, and the unaffiliated voters are aware of that, and they're concerned about what the future of the country looks like under a Joe Biden. I mean, we were in the second term of Ronald Reagan when he started to slip a little bit because he was getting so old, and his wife really kept him going, and the administration kind of kept him going from that sense, holding him up so he could gracefully go out. We're not even talking about the end of the second term of Joe Biden. We're talking about the end of the first term where this is bad. Imagine what he could be like 4 years from now. That's mind-boggling. But for Democrats, the question is, does that really matter to them? Because they're so anti-Trump, they would rather have Joe Biden, who's a vegetable in the Biden basement right now, where we don't even hear from him at all.
Let's go into the Biden basement.
They would still rather have that than have Donald Trump actually in office. And they think that he's got it too because he forgot a word once or something, even though he like wings an entire 2-hour rally. And he just goes off the cuff on half the time talking about issues. So I don't really know the comparison between the two. Yeah, okay, he's older, but everybody ages differently. So you got one person that's on oxygen and in a wheelchair by the age of 80, and another guy that's running a 4-mile marathon. So everybody ages differently. It's how you take care of yourself and how you, you know, maybe a little bit of your genetics on what your exercise routines are and so on and so forth. But Joe Biden is not capable of this, and we see it every day. To Democrats, though, they just don't care. But that number is beginning to dwindle more and more. In fact, they're going to the desperate state of having to call in the big guns. And I'm not talking about the big guy Joe Biden to deal with the issue because he's the one that's having the problem. They're calling in the bigger guns, if you know what I mean. Hint, hint, wink, wink. The guy behind the Joe Biden, none other than the man himself, Mr. Barack Obama. Oh, yes. According to CNN, that Barack Obama has been having daily conversations with Joe Biden. And in fact, over the weekend and last Friday, the family had the dinner at the White House, Barack Obama coming to visit, having, according to CNN, of course, it was a nice joke. They're exchanging jokes, having a nice time with the family, talking about stuff. And apparently Barack Obama getting more heavily involved in this campaign, worried about what may happen, saying that we need, quote, all hands on deck with the movement, saying that it will be an incredibly close election with the rematch against former President Donald Trump, to the point where they've called in with even meetings and different dinners and banquets with Bill Clinton and Joe Biden and Barack Obama. The trifecta of Democrats over the past couple decades, desperate to try and boost up the excitement and energy from Democrats. I thought they were already energetic. I thought they were so angry and hate Donald Trump so much that they were fueling their hatred to show up to vote. Oh, that's right. Hatred and fear and anger are very passionate emotions that you get burnt out on very easily. You cannot sustain that for 10 months, and we're already starting to see the drop-off right now. Kind of fun to watch.
This is The Voice of Reason with Andy Hoosier. When Reason Meets Radio, this is The Voice of Reason with Andy Hoosier.
Darn right, it is radio, TV, live streaming, podcasting, reason, common sense, and rationale, which there's not a lot of apparently in society today. We are on the minority, or at least we're in the silent majority. I don't know, one way or the other. I was watching over the break, I was watching some of the videos that pop up on my social media threads, which are hilarious to watch. Because my algorithm is, if you got on my social media and watched my video threads, you would be like, Andy, what in the world did you set up with your algorithms? I was watching one, and apparently this is like over in London or the UK somewhere. But a lady went and knocked on a guy's door and said, hey, I bought this phone from you off of Facebook Market yesterday. And the guy's like, okay. And this is through like their little, their camera there on the door. The door cam. And she goes, yeah, I bought this phone from you yesterday. And then this morning I dropped it and it cracked and it broke. And he goes, okay. And she says, so can you get me a replacement? No, this was an old phone that I just sold you. And it was working yesterday when I gave it to you. Well, yeah, but it was an accident. I didn't mean to. I dropped it and I cracked it. Can you replace it for me? I tell you, man, it takes a different kind.
I'm special.
Takes a different kind. Let's get into what's trending. What do you say?
What's trending today?
the lack of common sense that we have in society today. Really happy to have on the program. Been a while since we've had him on, a good friend. He is the morning host of Wake Up Memphis on the mighty 990 KWAM out of Memphis, Tennessee. The award-winning morning show in Memphis, Tennessee. I absolutely love it. Mr. Ben Dieter on the line with us here. Ben, what's going on, brother? How are you?
I am ready for Friday. How about you, my friend?
I am right there with you, man. It's Friday. Have you done anything on the marketplace like that? Should I just come to you and be like, hey, I know I bought this from you yesterday, but I broke it. Can you just replace it for me? That'd be great.
No, I wouldn't take it back. And I don't know. Are you a big Facebook market? See, the problem in, say, a Democrat progressive-run city, I don't venture onto Facebook Marketplace. There's just too much nefarious things being sold. It's kind of like the black market for us in Memphis. So I stay well off Facebook Marketplace. Do you shop there?
I don't often. I have on occasion. I haven't bought anything from there, but I have sold things on there on occasion. I really have. And it hasn't been, luckily, knock on wood, it's been a good experience for me, but it's mostly like, oh, we're getting rid of old kids' clothes from when the little one was younger and we got to get rid of those. So mostly they were like moms that needed some baby clothes and stuff. So that was pretty legit. But outside of that, I have not treaded into the territory of Facebook Marketplace too terribly often.
Well, see, because carjackings and car theft is the norm here in this city. That is where people sell their cars. So you actually, if you are a car owner in Memphis and you are the norm, not the exception, and your car is stolen, you actually need to be scanning it very often because your Nissan, or I think the Kia is a big one they're stealing, might actually end up there. So while they don't stop there, you need to browse.
That's interesting. You've talked about it before, the crime rates going on in Memphis, Tennessee, what's the cause of that? I know that it's been increasing pretty dramatically over the past few years, hasn't it?
Well, it certainly has, and I'm out of breath, and that's because I just left a press conference down at City Hall. Now, get this. Our homicide rate, actually, we blew through the year before's numbers in 2023. We had about 400 homicides, and the city of Memphis is 600,000 people. We beat the homicide records of, say, a New York City that has a population of, I believe, well over 8 million people. Los Angeles, we beat the homicide records there, and they have over 2 million people. So that doesn't translate well for a pretty small city. So the press conference that I left, Andy, just a couple minutes ago to jump on with you, you cannot make this up. It's parody. So our mayor invited black mayors only from the biggest cities in America to help find solutions to crime. And guess who he called and guess who was at the press conference? Brandon Johnson of Chicago, you had Eric Adams from New York, and Karen Bass from Los Angeles. So that is how we're going to get ourselves out of it, by asking the other mayors of America's most dangerous cities to help us.
Well done. Well done. The ones that are actually seeing the same destruction, they somehow now have grand ideas on how to solve it there in Memphis, Tennessee. It's a strange world that we live in, Ben. I don't know. What's the definition of insanity again, right? Doing the same thing
over and over. But, you know, it's a great question you ask, and I really didn't get to it. I think the reason that they are actually not finding solutions, because there are solutions, and I got a chance to ask the question after the press conference, and I said, so with all of you guys together, what message do you want to send to these criminals that have literally commandeered the streets of the Bluff City, the city of Elvis Presley, B.B. King? And they said, well, yes, we do need to lock up violent offenders, but we need to address it before they even end up there. So what we're going to do is we're going to throw money at the problem, and we're going to get these kids into pre-K. We're going to give them more basketball courts, another community center. And actually, they say that the thugs, and I know that's controversial to say anymore, but the gang leaders actually pulled a chair up to the table and they said, if you build us one more community center, maybe we drop our guns and we get that ceasefire. So yeah. We'll see if it works, Andy.
Yeah, we'll see if it works. You know, they almost had a good response at the very beginning saying that we need to address it before we get to that point, because they're right. We need to address the issue, the deep-rooted issue, before we actually just have to increase prisons and increase, you know, law enforcement and so on and so forth. But just throwing money at it and building another basketball court's probably not what's going to solve that deep-rooted issue of teaching people not to break the law. I don't know. I'm just throwing it out there.
Well, it's kind of like if you were to drop, and this is a hypothetical, but Andy, you drop over, you have a heart attack, and you get rushed to your local regional hospital there in Wichita, and you get there, and the doctor looks at you and goes, you have eaten way too many donuts in your life. You've pounded the red wine. You've also eaten way too many Big Macs. I don't know your diet, Andy, but this, the doctor looks at you and says, you have underlying condition, and we need to get to the root cause of why you had a heart failure. So we're going to start with that. What would you tell the doctor? You would say, no, we've got to stop the bleeding. Put the electric machines on my heart, jumpstart it, and then we can start the conversation of changing my diet. It would be the same here. Yes, I agree. Poverty, you can make the argument, leads to more crime, a lack of education in this city. And a lot of these progressive cities, the education is terrible. And if these kids aren't being educated, typically it leads to a life of crime. Yeah. But when you have a homicide record of 400 per year in a pretty small city, we don't have the luxury right now to go back 60 years. We've got to stop it. Then let's address that.
Got to stop right now. Yeah, you're absolutely right. You got to stop the bleeding before you can actually fix that deep-rooted issue, which, by the way, my diet would be the one that puts me in the hospital with a heart attack would be tacos. Tacos would be that proper answer. That would.
I think those are healthy, though, so you'll be fine.
That's right. I think I'm in good shape then. Let's go from Memphis, Tennessee out to Sacramento, California, for a minute, because we're coming up on Easter weekend, obviously a major holiday for the vast majority of religious individuals across the nation and around the world. With Easter, Sacramento has now passed a resolution unanimously, 9-0, to say that they are now going to be claimed as a sanctuary city for transgender individuals, and that this Sunday, coincidentally, the same time as Easter Sunday, that they're going to have some form of Transgender Awareness Day, that they're trying to make people be proud and actually speak up to announce that they are transgender in the community, where the resolution says that they will support any gender-affirming care person and that they will refuse to work with any community around the nation in any state that has banned or put any regulation on transgender-affirming care from whatever community that may be. I don't know about you, Ben, but do you think that some type of subliminal political attack against the religious holiday of Easter to make this announcement now?
Well, I think it's no question. You have a country that seems pretty hell-bent on erasing the traditions of Christians. So I'm not shocked to hear this. But I guess my question would be, in Gavin Newsom, California, are transgender kids, are parents, are adults that identify as the T of the LGBT, are they actually under attack? I mean, this is big news. I mean, also, Sacramento harbors illegals as well. They also are a sanctuary city for illegal immigrants. So I just want to know, can we get to the bottom of this? Because it seems like they are under siege and under attack. Now, I would make the argument that it is actually not them under attack, because if you look at the small print and the fine lines of many of these weeks of transgender visibility, you remember a year ago, President Biden issued that proclamation from the White House that we are going to have a day of trans visibility. Then they extended it to a week. What the activists within that sect, the LGBT community, did is they actually crossed out the word remembrance and visibility and replaced it with vengeance. Do you remember that?
That's right. I forgot all about that.
Because here in Tennessee, 1 year ago today was that shooting at the Covenant School.
Yeah.
And that was on the day of trans visibility, right? Connected dots. And we still don't know about the perpetrator of that event. We know it was a trans woman. They released nothing when it comes to the memo. We still don't know anything about that investigation. So to me, the victims here are not these trans folks that are being harbored in Sacramento. It is Christians, where in that case in Nashville, you had this perpetrator target white Christian kids. And that was leaked in the memo.
Yeah. Well, like you said, I'm not sure where there's still the victims in California in general, but especially in Sacramento, because as far as I'm aware, they still have their court cases right now to where if a child is wanting to transition and the parents are going through a divorce, that the parent that may not agree with the transitioning operations or hormone therapy or whatever that they want to go through, if they don't agree with that, then they have the possibility of losing all of their parental rights during this procedure, this divorce as well. So I'm not sure where the victimization comes in. Ben, hang on the line. We got to take a break here. We're hanging out with Ben Dieter, KWAM, Wake Up Memphis morning show host out there. We'll do some more of this when we come back right around the corner for The Voice of Reason. Stay right here.
This is The Voice of Reason with Andy Hoosier. Fighting for freedom every day. The Voice of Reason with Andy Hoosier.
Darn right it is. Welcome back into it. Last couple of minutes here of the show as we wrap up for the middle of the week. By the way, our newsletter, for all you Hoosier-holics out there, our newsletter is coming out on Monday on April 1st. I know it's April Fool's Day. It doesn't really matter. The newsletter's still coming out. So sign up if you haven't done so yet. Go to HoosierReason.com. Type in your email. You'll become the latest Hoosier-holic. We don't spam you. We just send you a once-a-month email with our blog on there, information about the show, about the Hoosier Media Network, about new part. We have a new partner coming on, too, which I'm really excited about. So we'll do that announcement and a heck of a lot more. So go to HoosierReason.com, HoosierReason.com. Go and check out that out and get ready for our big newsletter next week. We're hanging out right now with Ben Dieter. He is the morning show host of Wake Up Memphis on the mighty 990 KWAM out of Memphis, Tennessee. Award-winning broadcast that he does each and every day. Like legitimate, like actually won top 20 best morning local shows across the nation, which is amazing. So first off, congratulations on that, Ben, because you guys are rocking it out there with what you do with your boss, Todd Starnes, nationally syndicated radio host. You guys are just killing it out in Memphis, so congrats.
Thank you. Those are kind words. Did I hear over the commercial break my boss is headed to Wichita?
Yes, yes. For all my Wichita listeners here, yes, he is coming out on Thursday, April 11th, and we're getting ready for that big one. Actually, he's going to be doing his show from my studios here for the 2 days leading up to that as well, so it's going to be an exciting time.
All right, so here's a secret. The way to make a happy boss is to obviously have a happy life, and that includes you when you host it.
That's right.
Todd's fantastic. Have some barbecue then and some sweet tea, unsweetened. Make sure you have that, and he'll be the happiest guy when he's in Wichita. Okay?
All right. You know what? We will have some barbecue ready to go for when he walks in the KQAM studios. I'm ready. That will be great. I love it. We got a couple minutes left here, Ben. Let's talk about this. I want to shift over to election time. Obviously, the court cases continue to bog down Donald Trump. But, man, he got his civil fraud case lowered from $454 million to $175 million. I think he still personally needs to continue to fight this one because it's the principle of the thing of why he needs to pay it in the first place. But now has become one of the top 500 wealthiest people in the world after Truth Social goes on the stock market. The stocks blow up. And with all the shares that he has, he walks away with a value of near $4 billion, topping him above $6 billion now for total assets and value. That, my friend, is what karma looks like when it comes to the other side trying to financially destroy him on the campaign trail. What's your thoughts?
The art of the deal. I mean, the guy just does not stop. And the narrative by people like Letitia James, the AG from New York, and all of the radical left, what has been their talking point? Trump doesn't have money. Trump is broke. And we're really going to make him broke by making him ineligible to use any of his Trump properties. And the organization is going to go bankrupt. And not only that, we're actually going to seize the properties. And what does he do? I thought it was very interesting, Andy, and I'm sure you covered this. when reporters asked him after a judge at the appellate level reduced slash that bond, they asked him, what tender do you plan on paying this still incredibly high bond? And he looked at them over his shoulder and he said, cash.
Cash.
Because he still has a lot of cash. To your point.
Yeah. Well, he's got close to $500 million standalone just for the election that I think he's planning on using at least for part of this. So, yeah, he's not short on cash in any way, shape, or form, which is not recommended, by the way. We're talking to the investors. They're like, yeah, normally business people don't have that kind of cash on hand because it's invested in assets while it continues to work for them. But he's at that point right now. He just don't care. He's just going to pay it and be done with it and just walk away. But I don't know. Do you think he still needs to try and fight this just on the principle of the matter?
Absolutely. And if anything, maybe Letitia James will quit tweeting on her ex account, which she has stopped since she got the big L. You know, it's interesting because I think when we're talking about many of these Democrats, folks like Letitia James and the Alvin Braggs of the world, they are not your grandfather's Democrats. I mean, we're playing with not honest brokers. These are Marxists. And I find it very telling. They came after him. They're trying to go after Trump world. Look at what they did with Ronna McDaniel. Her sin was just being associated with Trump. They want to destroy Ronna, never to be employed again. And they're trying to do the same thing with President Trump. And as he says on the campaign trail many times, if they're going to do this to me, one of the most powerful and wealthiest men in the world, they will absolutely do this to you. It's only a matter of time.
It's only a matter of time. Watching them try to destroy us and seeing the self-destruction they're seeing on their end is quite comical to watch, for sure. It's Ben Dieter. Wake up, Memphis. KWAM, the Mighty 990 out of Memphis, Tennessee. Ben, keep up the fight, brother. It's always good to talk to you. Let's do it again soon.
All right. Join the show on my next time, all right?
Anytime you want. Absolutely. We'll do it. There it is, Ben Dieter. We appreciate him. Always great to get him on the program. We're back at it again tomorrow for your pre-Easter celebration here on the program. So much to cover. We'll go down the road of what Easter's all about, and we'll have some fun that way. Until then, be your own voice of reason. This is The Voice of Reason. I'm Andy Hoosier. We'll see you on the radio.